Accession number 11206, Reel 17.
Mr. T. Thornthwaite, Reel 17. You left the Army A1, Mr. Thornthwaite. Had you been given a medical as you came out of the Army?
No. I got no medical. I was just demobbed as York, like anyone else.
And what was the demob procedure?
Went to this camp and to a 21 group. And as soon as your group's called, you had to go up to the dunes and you went in front of an officer and he checked all your records, that was it, your pay book and everything like that. Give you your demob book, which I still have, the white one with all the details, and the pulse slips out for. And the thing that concerned me there was when I joined the Army, I said I was 18 and a half, and I was 16 and a half, and I put 2 years on my age. You see, when I come to get demobbed, I was worried because I thought, well, this is going to upset all the records and everything with the Social Security people. But at any rate, I got my booklet, and then he got a lecture by the officers thanking you for your service and whatnot. You got your ration of sweets, you got your cigarette ration, and you got credit from the NAFI, the number of years you've been in the service, you got credit from the NAFI, and of course you got your pay.
What was this credit from the NAFI?
It was initially started by officers a long time ago, I don't know, the Crimean War or something, started by officers, they put the money in, bought stuff so the men could come and buy little pieces in the battalion, and I don't know, it carried on after that. So it was like you spent your money like a dividend, I suppose. It was like a dividend. When you got demobbed, your dividend, the number of years you'd been in, you got it back.
It was money that you got back.
Got money back, yeah, on that. And then you went in for your civilian clothes. Complete rig out, right from collar studs to cufflinks to the trilby and muck. And somebody said to me, at the demob centre before he went in, he says, when you go in, you go in this hall and there's all the suits and all the rest of it, and he gives you, he says, don't go at the front, go around the back. He says, all the good suits, pinstripes, is at the back. So I booled in with this information and I went straight to the back, and a bloke about 6'6" with a tape measure around his neck, a tailor come round, he says, what do you want here? I says, I'm looking for a suit at the front. So I went to the front, he looked at me and he gave me a suit. He, I only wore it once. It was like a tatey bag suit. Trilby hat, and then they went round a shirt. And it says, what size? Had grey suit, black shoes, what size socks? 8. And they give us a pair of brown. I says, I have a black suit, black shoes. That's the only size we've got. Trilby, they jammed a trilby hat on your head. That fits. Mac. And then they put it all in a box because you were still in uniform. And then you eventually come out to get your train at York to come home. Well, outside the demob centre, there was these spivs offering you £20 for your box because everything was on the ration clothing coupon. So again, the lads inside got wise to this, the staff. So they used to come out as being demobbed in a box full of paper. And of course, the spivs were giving them £20 for the box of paper. But anyway, I didn't sell mine. I brought it home.
How much money did you get in back pay and so forth?
Wasn't a lot. £20 or something like that. It wasn't a lot. But I just remember, I didn't come home. I was knocking around with this girl at Skipton and her sister at Kettlewell in Yorkshire. Her sister lived in Kettleworm. And I went back to Skipton when I was demobbed, and then I got the bus or something to Kettleworm, and they had the pub had closed, little pub, because it was after 10 or something, and had a gin and a beer for me or something. So I spent my demob there, because the idea was we're going to get married, this girl and I, and I was going to get a job there driving a wagon, delivering foodstuff to all the farms in that area in Yorkshire. But I changed my mind, it didn't work out, so I come back. She lived at Throckley. Her father was a stonemason. So it didn't work out, so I came back here. I remember about 10 months afterwards, I got this letter stating that I'd been granted a pension of 10.6 a week and a cheque for £100-odd, ill health pension.
And you have that till today?
Yeah, and I have it today. It's, of course, it's increased by the percentage, the cost of living since then. But I have the letter that is stated from the Director of Taxes, because a war pension is not taxable, fortunately.
In all the years that you're in the army, what's your abiding memory?
Oh, I enjoyed the life of the army, companionship. Had some marvellous times. Sometimes I can nearly cry when I think back of all the friends and all the good times we had, and we're all getting old now and you look at them. Because for all they were a rough lot, you're never on your own. In those days, if you're ever in trouble, there's always them to help you, and, you know, always help each other, always did. I'd never see you without a cigarette. It was a different attitude in those days. I think I mentioned before, in India, in them days, you could get your pay and leave it on your bed, and it would never be touched. Yet during the war, you couldn't leave your boots. You had to put the bed leg on your boots, because they would disappear in the morning if you didn't at Bransford. I mean, people at Bransford, they were selling blooming blankets to the women at Page Bank, and they were making coats and all kinds with the blankets and dyeing them due to the clothing ration. But you see them odd one now. When I go to the DLI reunion, I haven't been for a couple of years because I always seem to be in a holder. But when you go there, there's the Colonel, there's Brigadier May, there was all these, Kirby, Major Kirby, comes up from down south, Seabag Montefiore, a millionaire, Hammond, the VC, the officer. I mean, you go into Durham, you go to the cathedral, you have the parade, and the Lord Lieutenant of Durham Inspection comes around. From there, you go into the cathedral, have a service. Then you go up to Bede's College. You go into the dining room at Bede's College, where all the university students are on their way home on their holidays. And you can imagine about 300 ex-Durhams, all mixes, all there, and you go in the dining room and have tables right away down the centre, and the students run the bar. And the thing the teacher there is always take a photograph of you when you were in the regiment, because you can't recognise each other now, it's half the time. So you go there and everybody's looking at each other and a bit talk, and they're showing you photographs. And then after about an hour, you went right back as though you were back to where you were again. You remember all the people, you're talking about incidents. And my God, there's some tall stories told there. It was a marvellous. Then you go up into the big dining room, and you have your lunch there, lovely lunch laid down. And all the officers at the top table, and telegrams come from all over the world. You know, happy reunion and this. And it's a lovely day.
You feel in many ways it's like a family.
Yes, yeah. But some men seem to remember some of the officers a lot more than I did. I don't know why. I mean, they'll say, oh, I went and seen him and he helped me out for a job and this and that. But the only one that was outstanding in my view was Huey Vokes. I mean, he went right through the war and then he goes and got killed in a horse and a riding accident. Fell off a horse or something in Durham, broke his neck. And his sister is the one that's married to Nicholson, who's the Nicholson now of Vokes' Breweries.
Was he the most outstanding officer that you served under?
No, Major Rogers, Jock Rogers, Kirby, Major Kirby, Ardine. Ardine was a marvellous man. Heslop, that was one of those supporters in there, Major Heslop, Colonel Heslop. Marky Leather, Paddy May. Yeah. I remember Paddy May when we were in Malta and he stopped in the Middle East and he started forming the first parachute battalion in the Middle East. He came to Malta to interview the men of the battalion, both volunteers, and half the battalion went, and the CO chased him. He says, you're going to take all the battalion away here. So he chased him. Humphreys. I met Colonel Humphreys. I was in the Crown Courts when I was working in the courts, and he had to get up and give evidence, and I had to swear him in, and I looked at his tie, and I remember then, and then when I put him back in the court, in the box, I was talking to him there, but his memory was going a bit then, you know, he wasn't very clear. I don't know what makes it, Paddy May can't be all that old. Can't be all that old, surely. But I suppose they've done. He was in charge of all the civil defence in the North East at one time. Yeah. Ah, the marvellous people. And I now get letters from the Chelsea Hospital. I get one every year. I just had one to say I'm eligible to go there and be a Chelsea pensioner. Through my service and everything. And I've been down and had a look of it, had a look where they live, the dining room, gravestones, and marvellous.
Do you think you'll go?
I don't think so. I don't think so, not in the present doings, but I went there and talked to people there, and they're back in the army again, and they're marvellous. I talked to one chap, he was 80-odd, straight as a ramrod, but the only thing wrong, his eyesight was damaged by gas in the 1418 war. But his faculties and everything was marvellous. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say I was glad to get out of the army, but the army was my life. I mean, from being young. And I never regret going into the army, never.